It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Hello, nice to have you with us. This is Patrick Johnson Show here on 94.3 The Game, 94.3thegame.com, and the brand new IBX Media app. We'll talk Pirate Baseball today with Mike Mullis, have some audio from Pirate. A lot on the sports scene to about, quite obviously. One of the big moments and one of the big things happening that's going on, though, in our company is the annual Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. It's taking place today and tomorrow. Started this morning at 6 on 107.9 WNCT, and then, of course, on Talk of the Town on our talk properties, 96.3 and also 103.7. Oldies 102.7 and 94.1 and 94.3 The Game also participating. You can go to the IBX Media app, and there's a button on there to download or to press and donate, more appropriately, to the Radiothon. And what is this going to? It's going to the Maynard Children's Hospital here. All of the money stays here locally. And we've been doing this. This is the 27th annual event, and it's been done the last several years on 107.9, and it's continued when IBX Media acquired 107.9. So, much to talk about. We want to start by imploring you to give if you're compelled. We'll give you a phone number, too, in just a few minutes. And here to bring us through some of that is a great friend. The more talented of the Ironmongers.
Hello,
it's Elise
hello.
Ironmonger, the Hi. Weatherman's wife.
Weatherman's wife.
And the better half.
Of course.
Of the Ironmongers.
No, he's the best.
Charlie, of course, is your husband, the big TV star.
Yes.
But you're the rock star, as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like I'm on TV and radio about the same as he is these days. It's CMN season. We've got a lot of fun things going on. Like you said, today is our 27th annual Music for Miracles Radiothon. And I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always great to talk to you. Couple of things that I think people need to know. It is a children's hospital that isn't just a Greenville Children's Hospital. It serves 29 counties.
Right.
It is truly an Eastern North Carolina hospital. And again, I don't think we can say this enough. The money that is raised in these 2 days stays here local.
Yeah.
It's not going into a pot at a national headquarters and being redistributed. This is a local hospital for Eastern and Central North Carolina folks, and it is money that is staying here in the community.
Absolutely. And that, yeah, we're so lucky that 100% of the money that's raised these next 2 days, like you said, we're on from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Today and tomorrow, 100% goes towards really making a difference at that hospital. And, you know, the good thing about Children's Miracle Network funds is that the hospital decides where that money needs to go. We don't say, hey, we think this piece of equipment's mm-hmm. cool and it'll be fun to talk about. They tell us where it needs to go. They know their patients. They know what equipment needs to be updated. They know what new technologies are out there that they need. And they know they can come to us and say, hey, we think we should use some CMN funds for this. And we say, yeah, we agree. Let's do it. And we're able to do that only because of events like this, the Radiothon.
One of my favorite people is Elise Ironmonger. I always love talking to her. She is everybody else is excellent too with Maynard's Hospital that helps put on the telethon. But we've had Elise on with us every year the last handful of years,
yeah.
And it's always a treat to talk with her. Great lady and a great cause. I think this is going to be something that maybe you'll bring it home for people. How many patients the pediatric hospital?
So we did a census today, and right today, 132 kids are receiving treatment over at that hospital. I think we said
wow.
There was 66 in our NICU out of 71 beds. So, I mean, they are almost full. And they said there was going to be six babies born today. So six new lives coming into the world. And again, we absolutely hope every single one of those babies is healthy and mom is good. But if there were to be something wrong, if they notice something after that baby's born, or if they need help breathing or anything, they are steps away from the best NICU and the best care possible.
Elise, I think too, when people hear this, they think, well, I'm not in a position to give $100 or $5 or $1,000. No. It can be as simple as $5.
Absolutely, because 100%.
$20,
yeah.
$25. Mm-hmm. It could, maybe $20 a month.
Yep, 100% of it. No matter what level people can give at, we appreciate and take every little bit. And like you said, we've got the past few years, we've created a really fun club, the Miracle Maker Club, for our recurring monthly donors. So donors that want to donate $20 or more a month and just kind of set it and forget it and know that their impact is going to be going, ongoing, month after month. And that they're truly making a difference over at the hospital. And each year you get a new shirt. This is this year's, a beautiful gray and a really fun new design that you can see there. So when you sign up for this club, either $20 or more a month, or if you just want to do like a $240 donation for the year, you get this awesome shirt every year with a new design.
Yeah. What is the phone number people can call? And we have people that are taking those calls all during the course of the day.
Yes. So you can call 1-800-673-KIDS. 1-800-673-KIDS. 5437.
Elise Ironmonger is with us. One of the great stories I heard, and we're all very familiar with it, is Parker Bird, the ECU baseball player, a young man that had an accident, had to have an amputation out of Raleigh, I believe.
Yep.
Wiley. And Parker Bird, has kind of served as a little bit of an inspiration for him. So that's a really cool story.
Isn't that so awesome? And, you know, his dad, you know, during that story said that him and his wife kind of said, okay, we're going to let the boys bond for a little bit. And they went, I think they grabbed some lunch and came back like 2 or 3 hours later. And Parker was still there, still connecting, still. And, you know, and they said too, when you lose an accident and you lose a limb, there's this community that they didn't know about and they didn't expect. So he had Parker come and visit him. And then there was someone with Peloton who had almost the exact same accident, a boating accident, and he lost his arm. And he came down and visited Wiley as well. So it's this amazing community of supporters that really helped Wiley through this experience.
And Wiley is from the Raleigh area. And again, this just kind of tells you, how far reaching this hospital is.
Yeah, and, they were vacationing at the Outer Banks and he got injured there. Mm-hmm. We were the closest spot. And of course, they could have taken his care closer to home. That would have made sense. And that does happen. But they were so impressed by the level of care, the surgeons, doctors, nurses, everybody, that they decided to stay here. To stay here and receive his care. And that's just an amazing testament to what goes on over there.
Everybody loves a dog, and there's a new facility dog at the Maynard Children's Hospital. It is Sam.
Sam, we love Sam. She started with us in November, and she is part of the Maynard Canine Crew. I know they're hoping to add more friends to that crew. But we had her on earlier. She's got two Child Life Specialist handlers, Ashton and Chelsea. They came this morning. And the really amazing thing about her is that she went through like an intensive like 15-month process of training, and specifically for hospital scenarios. So she's able to go back with the kids to their treatment. She's able to go in places that a family member normally wouldn't be able to. And she's able to stay with those children, keep them calm, offer that little bit of comfort. And I was joking today, she came in and, was taking pictures and, sitting with her handlers. And then she came over and sat right in my lap. I was on the floor. She sat plopped down right in my lap. And I was like, okay, she knew I needed some comfort at the time, which was just amazing. She really is remarkable. And I know is making a huge difference in those kids that are going through a really scary time. And again, some of them are there for a long time. And Chelsea was saying, she's one of the child life specialists, that if they know that a child's particularly reacting well to her and that she's really impacting their care positively, they'll make sure to go visit them every single day just to make that a little bit of a better experience for them.
That's amazing. 1-800-673-KIDS, 1-800-673-5437 to donate and any amount You can contribute. Not only does it stay in Eastern North Carolina at the Maynard Children's Hospital, but it will certainly help offset the costs of equipment and other things that are needed to provide this world-class care. Anything we haven't mentioned that you want to make sure we let the people know, or that might help compel people to participate in this radiothon if they're so moved to? You know, I've often said, and I've learned through this, if you don't have not had to, you know, have your child receive this level of care, you know somebody whose child has.
Right. That's the thing. But it's impacting
anything
everybody.
Anything you want to say?
Yeah.
Anything you want to say before
everybody.
We go?
I would just say, call in, donate what you can, be a part of this. This is bigger than any of us. It's making a difference. It's local kids. It's our hospital. And we couldn't stay up to date with technology and, you know, support these programs. We could not do it without you. We could not do it with our amazing community of supporters. And we want you to be a part of this. Be a part of this Music for Miracles Radiothon, please. 1-800-673-5437.
Awesome stuff. We will talk to Elise again tomorrow, much to her chagrin, having to deal with me for 2 days in a row. Charlie Ironmonger is her husband. Mm-hmm. How is Charlie's no longer on the weekend? So he's how is not. Life with Charlie? How is that?
It's amazing. Yeah, he's weekdays now. Got much. You know, we've got two young girls who are 5 and 8, kindergarten and third grade, which is crazy. And so, yeah, he's got a little bit more of a normal schedule now. Mm. You know, in news and you know, like there's just crazy hours. But we're really excited that he's been, you know, back on day side during the week that we say. And so we get weekends with him, so we get to do stuff as a family, and he gets to come to soccer games, and it's been really fun and amazing. So we're excited.
Elise, great to see you again. Thank you so much. And we will keep telling folks about this throughout the rest of the show. And obviously, thanks a lot. All right, we're going to talk to you coming up next. And Mike.
Have you noticed he's in his own little happy hour? We're back to the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
This is the happy hour program.
Here's the P-Man.
Bring the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon rolling, 27th annual edition, 800-673-KIDS to donate, 800-5437. Wallace joins us as we turn our attention to sports and pirate ball. There's Molly out in the back. Look at this guy. He can't be stopped.
Hey, buddy.
He's everywhere. Molly, on the move today.
I kind of feel like in the smaller frame, I look like an emoji.
Which one?
Well, I guess it would be the bald-headed guy with glasses. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory.
That'd be a pretty darn good-looking emoji. I just want to say that.
Is there a
thank you, Phil?
I know. Is there a smile to the emoji, or is there a scowl? I mean, what is it?
You know, I'm not a big my facial expressions probably do not typically dictate how I feel on the inside, so I'm fairly
okay
stoic externally. If anything, it would be the
cool under pressure
kind of If anything, it would be maybe the kind of smart Alec, like, really kind of emoji, maybe.
Maybe a shrug? Maybe a shrug emoji? Maybe that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mike Mullis, ESPN Plus baseball analyst. Pirates are on the road at FAU, who knocked off Miami. But let's start with ECU's Tuesday win, which was against State. First of all, obviously a huge deal for the Pirates. First time they'd won there since 2009, but also deal in that Carolina not only scored early, but then added on runs as they went along. They got a great pitching performance from Growler out of the chute.
Yeah, no, I thought the left-hander start was kind of set the tone for the day. I don't think anybody anticipated that he goes as far as he went, and more impressively, as effectively as he went. So, yeah, big start by Aaron. And, look, the bats were everything they needed to be. And, you know, State uncharacteristically extended some innings with some kind of sloppy defense. And, you know, we saw East Carolina return the favor at a point or two. But all in all, a highly spirited, well-played game, an exciting game maybe is a better way, maybe better than even well-played. But, yeah, good showing for the Pirates and coming off a great weekend.
Wolfpack, as you noted, seemed a little out of sorts, maybe not like they normally we're used to seeing them. Was it just one of those nights? I know their pitching is not quite as lock you down as, say, East Carolina's is proving to be right now. But offensively, I thought East Carolina did a fantastic job of shutting down the Wolfpack offensively, more so than anything.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things of note here. Yes, the East Carolina offense definitely answered the bell. You're correct in saying that State may not have the pitching depth that they've kind of been accustomed to. But, I've had this said to me primarily by State fans going, well, East Carolina threw their best arms and, State threw off. Well, I would argue that I think what East Carolina and what the staff, the coaching staff has done, and we've seen this before with the way they handle pitchers, they got an amazing start from a guy that has been up and down at the very best. But when they're able to go to the bullpen, regardless of midweek or weekend, they have such, I say defined roles, but they have such an understanding of what they're going to do with their bullpen management, that it's Danny Beal, Lunsford Schenkman, those guys, Eric Ritchie, those guys expect if the team is playing that at some point they're going to get the baseball, and they are conditioned to do that. And then I think, with the addition of Jake Hunter to the pen, at least for now, it adds innings to what their capacity is. So the way it lined up was basically a kind of a bullpen day for those guys anyway. They're used to throwing on short rest. They actually had a little additional rest because they didn't play Sunday. They were ready to go. I think Cliff's going to stay with that as much as he can based off what happens on the weekends. But that bullpen is set up for this type of use.
But, Mully, you got to – see, I don't know if that's a sustainable thing to be doing – on Sundays and then midweeks. Maybe it's a midweek plan that makes sense. But to me, I think you've got to have a starter that can give you more than just an inning or two on Sundays. I mean, I might be wrong, and maybe the talent gap is going to prove to be so vast and the gulf so large that, ECU should have no problem winning the league. But to me, I think – at least to get to the point you want to get to in the postseason where all of this is really going to come into to be beneficial, I think you've got to have somebody that can chew up some innings in a starting role on Sundays or in Game 3 of series.
Kind of like Connor Norby did in Game 3 of this past weekend. Connor Norby was great, and he put them in a position to be able to bounce those guys back. And, my point, PJ, is that Danny Beal, Lunsford Schenkman, these guys have a routine – that allows them to go out and throw. They can go out and give you 30 pitches every, 2 to 3 days. With that's what they're conditioned to do at this point. You got to remember back when we hosted the Supers. I'm drawing a blank on the year. Was it 21 maybe?
22. Mm-hmm.
22. Remember the kind of the way that team was used. Everybody was available every day. And it might be an opener. And that's something we're seeing more and more in college baseball is an opener and then going to the pen quicker to just because of everybody's challenge at the depth of pitching. So, look, I think a key piece of the success of the strategy that we've seen over the UAB series and then into NC State, the key factor there is going to be can Ethan Norby come out and give you that type of outing? If he's going to be that guy on Sunday, that Sunday starter is a big deal. Again, I just think Danny Beal, these guys are okay. We saw Danny Beal not throw on Friday because he was tender. We see him, come back out on Saturday or Friday being actually the game one. He doesn't throw. He he gets himself back to where he's ready to go, he's available for games 2 and 3 this past weekend. So, man, I think I do feel like these guys understand their roles. They're kind of now welcoming these roles, and I truly believe they all expect to pitch every time the scoreboard's on. I don't think obviously, if you see an extended inning from Lutzer, Schenkman, or Danny Beal being maybe getting into the 50-pitch range, that changes the deal. But when you see them at 30, 35 pitches, they're going to be ready to go in another day.
Mike Mullis is with us here. So let's talk about the further. There was the Alek Makarevich factor. He's had a tremendous offensive year for NC State, and he and Cliff Godwin shared a handshake before the game as Coach CG was coaching over at third. How did you think Makarevich, on the whole, handled everything on Tuesday night?
I mean, from what I could tell, not just him, I think, everybody went about it in a very professional manner. They went out, played the game, and obviously the Pirates, held Makarevich at bay, and again, he's having a great year, so fully expect when we see him again here in the next couple of weeks that, he's not going to go hitless forever. So, but no, I think as far as, you got to remember, he's got teammates that, guys he played with. There's depth of the relationship there, and again, I think it was handled appropriately and about as well as it could be, at least to the public eye, whatever happened behind closed doors. And I'm not implying or saying that anything did, but if something did, it's being kept where it needs to be kept, and that's behind closed doors.
I think it was good to have the first matchup on the for East Carolina on the. In other words, State coming to Greenville would have been a circus. It may be less of a. I mean, it's still going to be a heck of an atmosphere, but it's not. That won't be the spectacle as much. It'll be a part of it, but not as much.
It'll be chapter two, and the sequel's never quite as good as the original, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, I don't, man. Again, to me, a lot of it is much ado about nothing. I mean, it's a college kid that made a decision that was in his best interest. It has worked out for him to this point. He gave 4 solid years of his life and got his degree from East Carolina University, and so he made the choice and he goes about it. It is the old adage, it is what it is, and it is a prime example of that it just one of those things.
Hey, Molly, can I get you to hang through a Pilkington update and a break only because I want to ask you about RPI, and that seems like a more involved question than we have time for an answer for right now. And then we want to preview the FAU series. So are you good? You can hang on. Okay. All right. Mike Mullis, parts unknown today. He's not driving. He's in the car, but not driving. We're going to have Philip the Ref Pilkington hit us with a 94.3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report. A reminder that our Children's Miracle Network Radiothon is going on, and you participate by dialing 1-800-3-5437. 800-673-KIDS. Philip Pilkington, 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. Then more with Mully.
Thanks, P-Man. We will start in Pirate Athletics. Spring football is in full swing, and offensive coordinator John David Baker was asked about the returning players and whether or not they have impressed him.
I won't say surprised, because ever since I got here, some of these guys that have been returning, just guys off the top of my head, Keithan Robinson, Chase Sowell, those guys that.
And looking over at outside of Pirate Athletics, Hornets head coach Steve Clifford announced late yesterday that he would step down as the head coach of the Hornets after this season. He said the 82-game stretch has just gotten too much for him. The 62-year-old is in his second stint with the Hornets, this one going a bit rougher than the first stint, as the team is 45-112 in his almost 2 seasons. The Carolina Hurricanes are trying to win their first President's Cup trophy, one of 3 teams that are standing in their way. idea as far as the standings go are the Boston Bruins, who they will see tonight at 7 o'clock. And the NIT Championship will be going on tonight as Seton Hall will take on Indiana State. The Sycamores are favored by 3.5 points. If Indiana State wins, that would be their 33rd victory of the season, the most since 1979 when Larry Legend took them all the way to the national championship game and they lost to Michigan State. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. We're going to take the second time out of our show, and on the other side, we will be rejoined by Mike Mullis to talk more Pirate baseball.
We have you covered with all the ECU news and beyond that you need for the drive home. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
All right. Mike Mullis joining us. We'll return home coming up on Tuesday, but they head first to Boca Raton, where they will take on the FAU Florida Atlantic edition to the Molly off a win. Is FAU in the midweek? So I mean, you know, on pay impressive at least.
Yeah, a couple of impressive wins for teams. LSU falls midweek. Miami goes down. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's college baseball.
Games, and you play a lot of them in the midweek. The midweek thing can be a little wonky, as we know. Mike Mullis is with us here. So look for going on the road if you're Cliff Godwin, you want to be different than the last time you went on the road when you had a team that was kind of pesky and hitting the ball well and unique pitchers that they were able to throw at the Pirates.
Yeah, and PJ, I'm going to try to answer what I think you asked. I'm getting a little bit of interruption. It may be me. I'm kind of in a little bit of an isolated area. But, yeah, the Pirates want to obviously going on the road and winning a series is a big deal. A sweep would be a huge deal. Very difficult to win away from home, and you lose all your creature comforts and the old sleeping in your own bed and having, quite frankly, the home fans and all that Clark LeClaire Stadium brings with it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, heading down there, it's a it's kind of a an interesting combination of being a pretty nice destination from the standpoint of a vacation mindset, but I can assure you that it is being pounded home that they're down there to go to work and you know, hopefully go play well. I love where the front end, you know, where the first two, the between you Savage and Root are, and that gives you a chance to win every series and be again very interesting to see where, you know, Cliff decides to go for the Sunday starter.
With Hunter Cunningham hit a home run the other night, is he your player in the American right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be definitely in the talks. You know, he had that little cold snap coming from the UTSA weekend and against UAB, started seeing some signs of life. And listen, I'll tell you the key for him, in my opinion, is when you see him driving the ball the other way, expect him to have a lot of success. And we saw that against State. You know, it's hard. He had set such a high bar that, you know, anybody goes into a little scuffle and there's certain lines of delineation between just having an off night and then when does that become a slump, et cetera. So, you know, you see him kind of do what less than what you expect of him and you feel like he's struggling. Then all of a sudden he turned around, big home run, couple big knocks this past weekend. So, yeah, in answer to your question, if it's not him at this point in the season, I don't know who it would be.
Dixon Williams had a multi-hit game in Raleigh, and Dixon Williams made a great catch going back into the outfield. You know, obviously played it kindly. He's put a lot of internal pressure on himself. Do you see him playing a little freer, as Coach Godwin and staff like to say, and kind of assess where he is at the midway point?
Well, you know, some of that, the ability to play free comes with playing time, and he's been the everyday guy there and being pushed by a really good freshman in Colby Wallace. But, you know, I think Dixon has continued to be true to himself, and even if you go back when the numbers weren't what you would hope they would be and what he would hope they would be, he still was having quality at bats, hitting balls hard. And, you know, he's had a couple stinkers in there, but for the most part, his effort at the plate has been very consistent. So, I mean, I like where he's at. He's certainly getting some balls to drop, and man, that play he made it—I say it third, but in left field—was as good as it gets. So, he's certainly is rounding out, and again, I think a lot of that just comes with the comfort of knowing that you're the everyday guy.
The platoon, if you will, or at least the two catchers cracking the lineup, is something that continues to be. Right now paying off pretty well. How do you see that going the rest of the way? And who's the guy who McChrystal, I don't think you can take out of the lineup right now. So do you see a little more of McChrystal behind the plate to give some other guys some ABs, or do you see that kind of staying like it's stayed here recently?
No, you know what? I think it'll kind of hold serve. I think Wilcox is your guy. McChrystal, again, good weekend series. He was one of the few Pirates that had a two-hit game against UAB. You know, that series, people look at the score, at the box score, and there was not an extra base hit for the Pirates in that series until late in game three. I described it, and I think it's very appropriate. It was death by 1,000 paper cuts, a ton of singles, balls hit up the middle, but that was necessary for the conditions that they were playing in. 25-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, I'm just telling you, balls hitting the air were not going to go anywhere. Now, it could have been an adventure watching guys try to catch them, but they did what they had to do. And, again, McChrystal, he has two loud singles there early on in the doubleheader and just kind of rode that, through the weekend and into NC State. But, they also have to be aware, he's got the – kind of chronic back issues, so they have to be aware of that and manage that, and I think Wilcox, it gives them a different leader or level of leadership behind the plate when he's back there. And quite frankly, if McChrystal continues to swing it like he is, I like him in that DH spot and just kind of keep the pedal down.
Good to have Riley Johnson back too the other night, Molly.
You know what, that dude, I mean, you can't count him out. I mean, he's had every reason not to be out there. And, just what he goes through to keep himself capable of being it, as he described, he didn't even know what 100% is anymore. He's kind of living in that 80-85% range of being at, optimum health with those shoulders. But, he's a plug. I mean, and between he and – it's a different offense and a different feel when you got him and Bristol Carter in the lineup.
Hey, Molly, the win the other night is a big win. North Carolina got a big series win over Wake Forest this past weekend. These are all good things for the RPI, for East Carolina. How does that factor into, the selection process? And then how does RPI get figured in baseball?
We need another show. Basically, RPI, strength of schedule, those things will obviously be huge considerations as we get, down the stretch to the back half of the season and looking at regional kind of selections and projections on where the Pirates may land. RPI is very interesting because it basically goes three layers deep. It's your record, your opponent's record, and your opponent's opponent's record. So, when we see, again, a great example is Carolina winning the series against Wake Forest, that's going to be a huge RPI booster for the rest of the season, as long as we need Wake Forest to go out and win a few games now. So, it kind of mounts on itself. And obviously, most importantly, the Pirates have to continue to take care of their own business. But RPI, strength of schedule, those things are huge factors, and there are a couple publications that are maybe lesser known that will factor out like the top 25, or they'll rank all the teams with those two things combined. And that's kind of what I like to look at, because I do think it's more merit-based as opposed to just eye test driven when you're looking at wins against quality competition. You know what? It's even funny that there's a little bit of a detraction from the Carolina win, from the standpoint of one win was at a neutral site and one win was at home, so it doesn't give the full credit, if you will, as though those three games had been won, or those two games had been won at Bosham or, you know, on campus there at Carolina. So it's interesting. It takes a lot of things into consideration. And you know what? Look, RPIs trickle down to the high school level. It is basically, to me, it feels a lot like the BCS formula before they did the playoff. It's kind of a weird way to get to some end of the season numbers.
You know, if you're good, you're good. I still am a bit of an eye test guy. When you look at East Carolina on the eye test, you watch a lot of ball. How do you see right now? What level are the Pirates in? I mean, obviously, I think they're in the hosting conversation for a regional. How close are they to a top eight in your mind, based on everything you just talked about, but also just what you've seen and what you know is out there?
You know what? I think the obviously every game is critical. These wins against State, Carolina, you got a shot at Campbell, you got State again. I mean, you have some really good midweek opportunities coming up. ODU, all these games are critical to where they are at the end. There are projections out there that have them as an 8 seed. There are projections out there having them, you know, going on the road somewhere. So, I mean, again, it's just so early, but looking at how they're playing right now, and this is fun. This is the other funny part about baseball. Coming out of the UTSA weekend, it was doom and gloom, and you know, it didn't feel real good. Now, the way that they're playing currently, you got to like it. And I will tell you, we had a graphic in the broadcast this past weekend about this has been a historic number of wins for ECU in the month of March. So you got to like that as a, you know, as more of a, if we look at history and then we take what's happening in the present and kind of forecast the future, that's a pretty strong indicator of where this team could go. But there's still just, you know, we're just shy of the halfway point. There's still an awful lot of baseball to be played. And I will tell you, I think, you know, with the series loss at UTSA and then UTSA sweeping this past weekend, you know, they kind of held serve. They're still two games up. The Pirates have to continue to take care of business and then, quite frankly, hope that UTSA kind of comes back to earth, because I do think it's going to be critical to be in first place in the conference at the end of the season, not just, you know, a conference tournament win.
Molly, I worked softball this weekend, Duke and Virginia Tech. Rain Wilson, who was fantastic, was my analyst. And she had 6-4-3, and that was so. You got to get out. Got to get on that. I don't know how you get on that, Molly, but you got to get on that. You can pull clips from it. She sent clips to the producers. It's amazing. I don't know what it means.
No, it is incredible. It is for those that are kind of going, okay, what are they talking about? 6-4-3 is a broadcast stat. Well, matter of fact, it's used for more than just broadcasting, but it is a. It is a statistics platform that shows you spray charts, both pitcher success against left-handed hitters, right-handed hitters. If you look at a pitcher, you look at a hitter, and it'll show 2-0 breaking balls. He always grounds them out to this area. I mean, it is just – it is the most robust stat and spray chart combination that I've ever seen. And it is – you're right, man. It is some cool stuff, and is certainly something that we have – we've had conversations as we've kind of been introduced to that. We've had some conversations with, you know, the production folks at East Carolina to see if we could possibly get access to it before the season's out. It just adds a ton of information to what you're able to share, you know, with the folks viewing at home.
Hey, Molly, have a great Final Four weekend, and hopefully we'll see you around soon. We'll obviously talk to you next week, and I think you'll be back in the booth Wednesday for ODU?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Wednesday and then the weekend. It'll be a fun weekend, UNC Charlotte and Masters weekend. So I am pushing to have kind of a Masters-themed broadcast, if you will, of the baseball series. You know, the challenge there becomes, of course, all the Masters colors are green and gold, and how much homage do we really want to pay to UNC Charlotte? But anyway, we're going to try to figure out some things to tie the two together.
There you go. Done that before on some of the podcasts. It's unique. So appreciate it.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
There he goes, Mike Mullis. Great to have him on. It is our radiothon for the Maynard Children's Hospital for Children's Miracle Network, 800-673-5437. Please donate. Day one about to wrap up. When we come back, we'll have a pirate report for you and hear some from pirate football coaches, particularly Mike Houston. So stay tuned.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
All right. This is Mike Houston speaking the other day. What he wants to see out of this week we're currently in for spring ball. Cut two.
Well, I think the thing you want to do, your last of your installs are going in this week. We've thrown a lot at them, both sides of the ball. You know, there's all this offensive stuff is brand new, and so they're, you know, the kids are having to spend extra time on their own just to make sure they have everything down. Because you know, if you're wanting to play fast, you can't be thinking. You know, it's got to be just like that. And so, you know, that jump this week is got to be in the execution phase offensively. And I think defensively, the jump has got to be handling the speed of the offense. I thought we struggled with that a little bit on Saturday. And so, you know, this Saturday's scrimmage, just really want to see, you know, that tremendous improvement there with those two things.
And on what returning offensive players have looked good so far, Coach Houston?
Well, I think if you're just looking at Saturday, I thought Dustin Hall had a great scrimmage on Saturday. I thought that, he looked like a really, really good player there in the middle. I thought Parker Moore had a really good day on Saturday. And I know that, he's playing with more confidence this spring than, you know, maybe he has in the past. I think Marlon Gunn, he's shown flashes of what, I thought he was going to be last year. And, I think he's practicing a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Tyler Savage, we've talked about him before, you know, probably as much improvement as anybody on that side of the football. I mean, he's shown himself to be a guy that's going to play this fall and guy that we can depend on. Chase Sowell is good to get him back Saturday. Of course, he had an explosive play with a long touchdown catch. We broke two tackles. And there's a Jari Patterson is having a really solid spring. So there's lots of our returners that I'm really pleased with. Keelan Robinson has shown some flashes this spring. Like he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the rotation.
And Coach talked about the efforts to replace Jeremy Lewis and Jack Powers.
We're talking about the rush, the boundary side position. You know, I think it's a pretty heated battle with Raheem Craig and Sam Danka. I'm very pleased with Raheem. I think he's come in and really embraced that position, and he's shown a lot of twitch off the edge, and like he's a natural pass rusher. He's really improving playing in space. And I think that's helped Sam, because Sam is having to play really, really hard and really at a higher level than he has in the past. So I think those two guys are doing a good job. And I think the field end position, you have your guys back from last year, so it's kind of the same group.
All right, and last thing from Coach here, Mike Houston, and this is breaking down the reps for the QB battle.
You know, the scrimmage Saturday, they both had equal reps. We looked at the stat stuff this morning. They were very, very even stat-wise. Continue to rotate them back and forth with the ones and the twos. Right now, I mean, you guys have seen some of it too. I mean, it's neck and neck. Now, each of them does things a little bit differently, but they both played really well.
It's interesting. I think the Garcia thing has added an element because I think he's the flashier of the guys, both in how he executes things, but also in how he is with his personality. Both are very good, but this quarterback bad, and I don't think that's coach speak. I think there's some legitimate. There's some legitimate competition there. Hey, Pilk, did you see what happened to the University of Connecticut?
No, I did not.
So they were trying to leave to go to the Final Four, and their plane, which was from Kansas City to take them, had a mechanical issue.
Wait, is this the men's team or the women's team?
Men's team.
Okay. So the women are in the Final Four, too. That's why I asked.
Right. Last night, They are at night. I mean, I don't think they landed in the wee hours of the morning. They were not there, and they hadn't even left yet for Phoenix. NC State got there yesterday. Alabama and Purdue got there the day before. So they got there in the middle of the night, did UConn. Will it matter? Probably not.
Hey, it's how you respond to adversity. Now, here's the weird thing, Patrick.
Correct.
This team has had less adversity this year than any other team in the field. Obviously, this is a different mm-hmm. type of adversity, but just, I don't know, playing a little devil's advocate there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that was a kind of an interesting thing. There was the joke going around, the meme that they were taking the plane for Major League that the Indians had in that. To get there. That was the joke. All right. If you are so inclined, you can donate to our Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. It's going on the 27th annual, and it'll continue tomorrow. 800-673-KIDS, 800-673-5437. You can also go to the IBX Media app and donate that way. Thanks to Mike Mullis for being on with us today. Good to talk to Mully, as it always is. And thanks to Elise Ironmonger for being on with us as well. Also, thanks to Philip the Rep Pilkington. We'll be back tomorrow. More on the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. I've had an excellent first day by all accounts, and we will keep it rolling tomorrow in the morning through the afternoon drive right here. Also, Brian Mull will be with us tomorrow. Look forward to talking the Final Four with Brian Mull. And looking forward to continuing to take the donations for the Maynard Children's Hospital on our radiothon throughout our IBX media stations. Again, it's 800-673-KIDS, 800-673-5437, or you can go to the IBX media app and donate there. For Philip Naref Pilkington, I'm Patrick Johnson. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on the PJ Show, and we're going to talk of the town.